Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 3 of Crick Picks, in which myself, Behram Kazi, who you can find on Twitter at DefMango, Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudevan, but the van is a one, and Jared Kimber, who you can find everywhere at AJaredKimber. We basically, in this show, pick our top 5 for any given cricket category. And the category for today is cricket commentators, all time. And as always, we'll do a snake draft, so whoever gets the first pick will then get the 6th and 7th. If you ever played fantasy of any sport, then you know what we're talking about. And if you don't, you'll find out what we're talking about. And for the first time on Crick Picks, I get the first pick. And I'm really, really excited about that. And, you know, best commentator of all time. I know a bunch of you guys are thinking Richie Beno. And sure, Richie is right up there. He's someone who revolutionized cricket commentary, but he's not my pick. And I know that might be groundbreaking or earth-shattering for some of you. My first pick is Nasser Hussain. So,
whoa, what?
Yeah, I've been watching Sky since I was a kid.
Hussain would pick himself as first.
I would, because look, I have tuned into the English summer every year since I was like, what, 8 or 9. And Nasser is someone who, for me personally, as a Pakistan supporter, he's given us some special moments. He said, 1 minute down, next minute up in the Champions Trophy final. Nasser said, they cannot play him when Shaheen had India on the ropes in the T20 World Cup. And I just love the way he kind of goes about it, the way he speaks. It's very soothing to me. I feel the same way about most of the Sky team, but Nasser is just my all-time favorite. So yeah, there's your number one pick. And now you guys can like...
I actually like him. I don't think I would have picked him in the top five, but he's not in my top five. But yeah, I like that pick, but I don't know if he's number one.
He's on my list, right? So I don't want to say that you picked someone completely rogue. He's on my list. But of all the people who could have gone at number one, I just thought that he was he's just such a random person. It's incredible. I mean, wow. You've surprised me in these cricket so far with your randomness. Because I had Estelle down as the token random person, but you've really stepped it up.
It's subjective when it comes to commentators, okay? There's no way to measure which one's best.
I think I found this one harder than anything else. So what have we done so far? We did the World Cup and we did Kits. Kits was hard because there's so many Kits, right? And, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm going to miss something really iconic or really cool looking and whatever. World Cups was kind of easy, in that way. Commentators, I was like, I don't even know how to do it. And I've worked with a lot of these people. So it's like, it's really complicated. And then I think we over-egg the old commentators. And like it'd be interesting to see where some of the old great commentators end up because and then you've got the cultural thing, right? Of you're going to listen to more commentary of one particular person and not as much of someone else and everything. It's a fascinating thing. And I really struggle with how to work it out. But, I mean, what a choice. Nasser Hussain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's got number two this time? Is it Estelle or you?
So, it's Estelle.
I know. I'm going to get shit for this. Okay, I'm going with an Ian.
If you pick Russell Arnold, I will literally come to Colombo and take a shit over there.
You can do that. I don't live in Colombo, so it's fine. Okay, so I'm going with Ian Chappell. For whatever reason.
Whoa. Wow. This is crazy. We're going to get canceled from the internet.
I know when you say all-time greatest commentators, his name probably doesn't come up. But I found his commentary really informative and interesting to listen to. I also like that he's kind of like the grumpy uncle sometimes and he doesn't give a crap about, you know, what consequences he's going to face. So Ian Chappell is my number one.
I mean, wow! He's on my list again. The problem with Chappelli, I think, and it's not completely his fault, is that he just did it for so long that if you go back to some of his early commentary, maybe not his early commentary, but the middle period where he was well trained and had a good producer and was on top of his game and everything. He probably deserves to be a top five commentator of all time. But we then had that long period where he went on and he just kept telling the same stories over and over again, right? And, you know, made the same points over and over again. And he, you know, he's someone who believes very vehemently in his way. And I think if that was a 15-year career, we all would have been like, yeah, he probably is a top. I mean, I think he was outstanding at his best, right? He said exactly what he felt, right? There was no sugarcoating. He said it in a really clear way. He explains cricket almost as well as anyone ever has. But because it's such a long career, we got, oh, we're going to hear. He's got two Leses that he talks about. And if you follow Australian cricket, you know, so you know which what story he's going to tell by the way he pronounces the Les, right? Like, it's just, because he's told those stories so many times. And so I think that probably brings back his overall. But I do think if you're looking at, like, commentators at their peak, I think Chappelle is really, really high. But also, a lot of people, you say that you're like the grumpy uncle version of him. Mm. I think that probably is something that a lot of people don't like, right? Like, that he sometimes does feel like he is a little bit like, everyone out on this field is shit.
It also, like you mentioned, comes down to the fact that you probably hear him a lot more than I do. Yeah, so he doesn't commentate a lot on Sri Lankan cricket. So I probably hear him a lot less. So that's possibly why. I mean, the stories and stuff, I probably hear it once. You guys probably have heard it about 15 times.
I mean, when it comes to grumpy commentators, I think Ian Chappell definitely ousts Jeffrey Boycott for me. I like Chappelli more than Boycott. I'll say that. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, no, I think Chappelli was a better commentator than Boycott at his best. Boycott was a very, let's see if he makes anyone's list, but I think Boycott was a very, very good broadcaster at times, in that he understood that a turn of phrase could affect people, and he said things in a very good way. And occasionally he was a brilliant explainer of cricket as well. Sunil Gavaskar is another one. All three of them at their absolute best are great, but I just think that Ian Chappell is at a different level to them over a long period of time. And probably because Ian Chappell thinks of himself as a journalist as well, a little bit more. I know all three of those guys kind of think of themselves in that way, but I do think there is a difference. But I'm still coming to grips with the fact that we've started a list with Nasser Hussain and Ian Chappell, and maybe I should have gone first.
Well, you get two picks now.
Two picks. So I think the third pick for me is fairly easy, which is Tony Kozier.
He's your first pick.
What did I say?
He's your first pick, but overall third pick, right? But he's your number one commentator.
Yeah. So I think his ability to be brilliant on radio and TV, again, a little bit like Ian Chappell, probably worked an extra 5 to 7 years longer than he needed to. And because of that, maybe the younger generation would be like, what? But at his absolute best, his information, his ability to communicate, I think he's the best commentator is he's a journalist, he's a writer, he's a broadcaster, and he understood cricket very deeply. And it's very few people have had the ability at his level to have all four of those. I tend to rate the radio people a little bit higher than the TV people. We'll probably for this list, I'll probably have more TV people just because those are the bigger names in general. But I think Kozier was one of the people that there's no letdown from him from radio to TV. He was absolutely brilliant in both. The voice of Caribbean cricket, really, for so many of us for such a long time. And I think West Indians get a bit of a boost sometimes because their voices just work so well in broadcasting. I've got Samuel Badru really high on my list. He probably won't make my top five. Fazit Muhammad, Ian Bishop, Michael Holding. There's a lot of really good voices that come out. But Tony Kozier wasn't just a great voice. He had so many different things going. So I've got him as my number one pick, the third pick in the draft, and the first real one.
Rest in peace, Tony Kozier.
Yeah. Now four. Four. Okay. Again, I want to be really clear here that I am picking the commentator, not the host, or the broadcaster, or the coach.
Okay.
But I think Ravi Shastri is my fourth. Now, tracer bullets aside, do you know I once interviewed him about the tracer bullets? And I was like, but Tony, I don't understand. Tracer bullets go slower because you can actually see it. A normal bullet is faster than a tracer bullet. And he's like, Jared, but tracer bullet sounds better. was like, that's fair. And there's an element of Ravi Shastri that I really like, again, of he obviously, there's a bit of centrist dad about him at times, and there's a little bit of loud buffoon, but he has a brilliant voice. He really thinks about cricket, right? He really, the fact that after a really cushy career, he went off to coach tells you how much he loves the game. He could have just stayed in the commentary box forever, right? He's a passionate guy. As a host, sometimes it goes a little bit over the top and obviously maybe holds his India bias a little bit stronger than some other commentators that I really like do. But I just think he was an entertaining commentator who has told me things about cricket, does it in a really beautiful way at times. Maybe more of a TV commentator than someone who would also be brilliant on radio. Although I've heard him on radio, he could certainly slot in really well there as well. But I like Ravi Shastri, and I realize that that's a rogue choice after making fun of Nasser Hussain and Ian Chappell. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure that there's someone else I prefer more.
Yeah,
I think it's a strong choice because Ravi Shastri is cricket's ultimate hype man. So he was definitely on my list. Not high, but he was there.
I think in my just on the margins of top five. I find him really entertaining as well. And the thing is, it's not kind of empty entertainment where he's just like, now you get a lot of commentators who are just loud, right? But he's kind of bring that content in. For me also, I remember him saying, throwing the kitchen sink at it. I think that was the first time I ever heard that phrase said by anyone. So kind of iconic. He's got those iconic lines, doesn't he, that he says. Am I next? Okay, so
yes,
I'm going to go. I think everyone who's watching this is probably going to pick this guy, Ian Bishop, as my number two. Purely, I think you hear so many good things about him. And it's so obvious that he does follow a lot of cricket when he speaks. Like Jared mentioned, West Indian commentators seem to have this kind of the voice for it. So he is definitely the top of my list when it comes to West Indians in the commentary box. Just like the work ethic, what he brings to the game, there never seems to be a time where he's not done his research on certain players, and he does. It's not just the major teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming from Sri Lanka, you do get the feeling that a lot of commentators who speak on Sri Lanka don't really watch them very often. I don't know whether he watches them, but he certainly knows a lot of the ins and outs of what's going on. So he does that work behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's really pleasing to listen to, right? He's not biased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think get a lot of that now in international cricket, and that's kind of what a broadcaster wants in some sense as well. So yeah, he's my number 10. Number two. So I've got two Ians at number one.
Yeah. Should I double Ian?
Yes, you do.
Should I pick?
Damn. You never double Ian, Estelle. You never double Ian.
Yeah, maybe you will. I think Bish was right up there for me as well. I have some guys higher than him, but like you mentioned, the research part and the work ethic part really stands out. Not to mention, he's a great caller of the game. He'll pick those big moments, you know, like that Carlos Brathwaite moment. Remember the name. And Ian Bishop just seems like, I haven't met him, but he seems like a wonderful bloke to be around, right?
Yeah, so, I've worked with him a little bit. And I think that's one reason I kind of had him a little bit lower. You know, it's not like we're best friends or anything. But, I didn't want to put him up. But I think he's someone who, when he came in, I think he was picked largely because he was, you know, a former player who most people knew the name of and had a great voice. And he's someone who has completely transcended that to become a good commentator and does the work, as Estelle says. So, I think, you know, maybe five's too high for him, you know, when we look back. But this is such a random list that everyone is in a weird position, so it may not matter. But, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Ian Bishop, so I've got no problem with him there.
Yeah, likewise. And I'm really happy that I get two picks in a row now, and both of the guys that I wanted to pick are still up for grabs. Now, I mentioned my love for the Sky team prior, so I'm going to be biased again because I, as a kid, kind of, you know, grew up idolizing them. That's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be part of the Sky team, and I still continue to have the same sentiments today. So, my next pick is a fellow countryman, or well, not countryman probably because West Indies are all islands, but Michael Holding is my next pick. And he's just someone who feels so strongly about the game. Some of the most important conversations we've ever had about cricket have come from Michael Holding. The way he talks with so much time and the way he has these subtle moments in which he actually insults the other team or whoever he's insulting. I really like that about Holding because it doesn't come across as crass. It comes across as very measured. And he just feels so deeply about cricket, right? When the spot-fixing scandal happened, he wept for Aamir. Mm. You know, I remember that. And I felt things that day. And he has a lot of interesting stuff to say with respect to how the game is run. Even when he was retiring, he was like, he's just not a fan of the people who run the sport anymore. And he also went out with the bang with that elaborate interview on racism with Ebony, right? So there's so much to like about Mikey. He's always going to be one of my favorite ever voices in cricket. And again, some of those catchphrases, not catchphrases, but the way he says it. Mm. It's just the accent and everything. It touches the soul, or it has touched my soul over the years. So he's my second pick.
Yeah, I think he'll be quite high for a lot of people. I think the interesting thing with him is that I almost feel he was underused because he finishes cricket in the mid-80s, right? And really doesn't become a force for commentary until, what, 2010-ish? Mm. And you look back and you're like, how did that happen? Like, and I know he's not the most driven person, like, as in, you know, he's quite a quiet guy and loves his horse racing and, you know, gets up at 5 a.m. to go down and watch the horses and everything. I'll tell you a story about Mike Holding, which is why I would have him very high up on any list. When we did Death of a Gentleman, so he was in the film and obviously has quite a prominent quote early in the film. And we asked him to be at the opening. Or I think it was not the first opening, but maybe the second major opening of the film. There's 600 people there. There's a lot of press. You know, it's quite a big event. And I said to him, you know, if you get a question that you don't want to answer, just, you know, ask my opinion on it or, you know, ask Sam's opinion on it and we'll do it. Like, we don't want you to get in trouble because you're doing us a favor. Mm. And he went, Jared, I can answer any question. Mm. And I promise you that having worked in this industry a long time, that's not how most people are. And I think that's what we saw with Mike Holding all the way through. You know, he, as you said, it was the fact he did care about things. And as someone who's worked in commentary, there's a lot of very good commentators who don't really care about everything all that much. And, you know, if, I don't know where Simon Dool will come, but, you know, Simon Dool occasionally gets himself in trouble, but it's quite often when he cares about something and he sort of gets quite angry about it. And I think that's the way to be. That's the better way of doing it, of like feeling it. I think Mike Holding has quite a few of those moments if you go through. Mm. And occasionally he was spectacularly wrong, right? Like no one on this list so far, like everyone, you know, there are some people who are going to be upset at Nasser Hussain for calling the Indian fielders donkeys, right? And Ian Chappell for the many, many things that he said, right? And Tony Kogia's, you know, slip-ups towards the end of his career and you know, all those sorts of things. But I think if it comes from a position of that these guys actually believed it, and I think most of the guys we have on this list so far, they're literally saying things that they believe, and there's a big difference in how they connect with us than other commentators.
Yeah, and the connection was very, very strong when it came to Mike Holding. Plus, part of the Sky team grew up listening to him, and he'll always hold a special place in my heart. All right, my third pick is also part of the Sky team, and this is someone who I actually spent some time with last year when England toured Pakistan. It was one of those fanboy moments for me initially, but then I had the opportunity to really tap into this person because I'm talking about Mike Atherton, of course, Athers, and I've recorded an interview with Athers for grassroots cricket. And in the Multan test in particular, I would always sit with the English journals because I would be like, I might as well, you know, learn something over here. Sitting on the Pakistani side wasn't really my jam. So I used to sit with, you know, Vithusha Nehanta Raja and Daniel Rasool from Cricket Info and a bunch of these guys, Ali Martin. And Athers would come in between commentary stints and just sit behind us. And whenever there was a moment in the game, he would just talk to us like anyone talks to anybody. With Nasser, I also had some conversations with him, but I was always worried that, okay, he's laser focused. He's here to do a job. I don't want to bother him too much. I'll have one conversation and that's that. With Athers, he just had a lot of time for me. So it's kind of personal, this pick. But also, I could listen to him talk about cricket all day. Again, that soothing voice comes from a very unbiased point of view. And I think that's really important for me when it comes to picking top commentators because you have to be, you know, impartial. That's part of the job. You cannot be biased. And I think Athers does a fantastic job doing exactly that. And again, someone who feels really strongly about cricket and has been there through some important moments, took that Aamir interview back in the day, right, that became really famous. And he's a student of the game. He has a delightful way of talking. And just a lovely guy, very warm guy who has lots of time for you. So Athers is number three for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a brilliant speaker on the game. I think a lot of people don't like him because he sounds a little bit negative at times and a little bit dry. but I think he, you know, he's not that kind of person, but it does sometimes come across that way. Mm-hmm. Look, I think he's fantastic. I'm not sure who I, I probably think that Nasser is a better commentator than him, but yeah. I think the combination of Nasser Hussain and Mike Atherton is probably the best thing that Sky ever did. You know, slightly different people, slightly similar cricketers in some ways, in that, you know, they both had to fight for careers and got hit in the body a lot and, you know, captain terrible England. Sides. Yeah. Captain England, terrible sides, as that era would have been. Look, I think Athens is great, but I do think a lot of people don't kind of like the tone of voice as much, the, you know, that side of what he does. But I don't think at all that I think that's a personal preference. Like if Athens was like had a, you know, a Welsh accent like Alan Wilkins, right? Or, or sounded like Pommy and Bangwa, like he might be the most famous commentator of the world. So I do think the voice holds him back a little bit, but actual analysis of talking about the game, I think he's he's fantastic.
Yeah, I think I would have picked him at number three.
All right, Houston.
So, I actually prefer him to Nasser Hussain. I think, like Jared said, like his content is really great. Again, that neutrality is really great, I think, because you can see that there's been work done behind the scenes. Anyway, my number three is Simon Dool. I just like how brave he is. I mean, in this kind of environment where cricket is now, you have to be brave, right? If you want to speak your mind. And I also feel like...
I've nicknamed him... sorry, I'm interjecting over here, but I've nicknamed him Simon, you must not stack bad food.
I think he's quite unpopular now because of his comments about stat padding and stuff, right? But I feel like he does speak his mind, and that's really important. Also, he's another one who's aware of the other teams and what's going on with other teams, and really seems to do his homework. My number three, Simon Dool.
All right. I like Dooley. I like that pick.
I think he was someone who wasn't particularly good for a long time, and you see that a lot with former players who become commentators. And then he's gone out of his way to become good. And he commentates so much too. Like, I mean, part of it is 10,000 hour. I know 10,000 hours nonsense, but you know, like if you do something a lot, you're going to get slightly better at it. And I think he's done that. And I think him and Ian Bishop really have improved a lot, to the point of which I think you'd be hard pressed to say that they aren't the two most interesting commentators in the world at the moment, in the way that they follow cricket, maybe more T20 than test matches just because of what they cover, but. Absolutely fantastic. Am I trying to buy time before my dual picks?
Buy you some time. Simon Dool is really an interesting person in person as well. Like when you meet him, he's a really funny guy. And he's also very warm. You don't feel like you're talking to someone of that stature. So yeah, for those reasons, I think Dooley definitely has to make this top 15. Not enough time bought for you, Jared?
I mean, it was, but I am going to go, and this is awkward because I know him quite well, but I'm going to go Harshal Bhogle. Because I think that in an era of which where actual commentators and journalists have been sidelined from TV commentary, certainly major TV commentary, I know, you know, Mark Howard has come through of recent times, and obviously Bairam, you hope to go through, and I do little bits, and Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon, but realistically, major commentary is pretty much still the domain of former players. Harshal Bhogle has, you know, shone a light and has, for many times, just embarrasses the other commentators, right? Just with his, and I don't mean intentionally, but I just mean he's so much more researched and so much more nuanced and so much a better commentator and broadcaster than these other people are. Look, he obviously has issues, and he had that issue where I think he probably wasn't and I think he's had issues because he's afraid to speak up occasionally. Because when he has, he's so I don't think people know, he's just so famous. Like, of all the people I know, like, I feel like him and Rahul Dravid are the two people I've worked with a lot where I just like, I don't even want to send them a message because they must just get like 1,000 messages a day. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just so famous, those guys. And I think with Harsha, you know, he's a brilliant radio commentator as well. He is a journalist. He does the research. He's incredibly thorough. I've broadcasted with him, and he broadcasts on such a different level. His ability to maintain a conversation and make it entertaining and interesting at all times, and also his ability to work cross culturally with different people, right?
Yeah,
I just think he's just so high up there.
Just to add over there, like you mentioned how, you know, a lot of us have aspirations of becoming commentators someday. Harsha would have been my next pick as well, because he's someone I've looked up to, because he's not played professional cricket that way. And I haven't either. So if he can make it, that gives us hope that maybe we can make it too.
Yeah. I think it's just a fascinating story. But the fact that he's the sort of the lone, well, not the lone, but certainly the major voice of non-cricket players on commentary, I think really does matter. And
yeah.
The fact that I think he's even better on radio, and most people don't even know of him as a radio commentator, is huge. Now, I think my next pick is going to annoy people that he isn't much higher, but I think some of his commentary is slightly overrated and that the impact that he has on the game is absolutely huge. And he was the voice of cricket. And so, I think Richie Benaud has to be next, but I think a lot of people are going to be annoyed that he's 10th on this list.
Yeah. I mean, I started this podcast saying that, hey, you guys are probably thinking I'm going to say Richie Benaud, and no one took his name till Jared just right now.
But I think if you go back and you listen to all of his commentary, it maybe isn't as quite as great as people remember it for. Now, having said that, he was a different kind of commentator, even in that era. We've never had another commentator before or after of that kind of skill level. But I think that maybe he gets more credit than he deserves for just sounding very knowledgeable at times. Having said that, he still was the voice of cricket. And I don't think there's a way of... He was a voice of cricket in the two main markets at that time, which was Australia and England. He was also incredibly famous in the rest of the cricket world as well. I don't know if you... Do you guys know about the 12th Man tapes?
Nope.
So Richie Benaud is so famous that he is a comedy character in these radio plays. And it's all about the Channel 9 commentary team. And Richie Benaud is the main character of that. And, you know, for generations of kids, a whole generation of kids just absolutely obsessed over that kind of Richie Benaud thing. And that shows you how famous he was. You go back and you look at the old clips and he's commentating so many games from around the world. I do think his commentary, his actual commentary was slightly inflated, and I don't think it was quite as strong as people remember it to be. But the knowledge, his ability to explain the game when he was at his absolute best, and the way that he used silence, actually, probably now we would love to have more of occasionally on commentary. But I don't know. I think it is going to shock a lot of people that he's so low. And obviously, this is a very subjective list for all of us, right? Not like the cricket shirts, which was completely objective. I think obviously a lot of other people would just have Richie Benaud number one automatically. And I like the fact that we didn't, but I still think he deserves to be in, you know, quite high up on that list.
Mm-hmm. All right, who's next?
It is Estelle.
All right, Estelle.
So now it's a bit tough to pick, I think. My number four... Okay, this might be a bit left field, and again, it might be like recency bias, but I think Ricky Ponting is incredible in the commentary box.
Punter? Punter made it to this list?
I think Ricky Ponting's a great commentator.
I love Watto from the new crop of Aussie commentators.
Well, if it was modern ones, I would go Watto at the moment, but I think Ponting has been really good for a decade.
And what I really like about him is that, you know, Ricky Ponting can walk into a commentary box and, like, no one question his place there, right? And no one's going to, you know, criticize what he says, or everything he says is going to be taken as gold. But he does really produce some incredible bits of analysis, I feel. I mean, forget about, you know, people pick on the stuff he predicts. But just apart from that, just the way he's able to, what's important is not only does he read the game well, and obviously he reads it well, he's so successful, right? But he's able to communicate that to the viewer really well so that you can understand what he's trying to say. So if I look at the recent commentators, he's probably really high up on that list, and obviously number four on mine. I hope he spends a lot more time in the commentary box. I mean, I'm sure that there are lots of offers for coaching and stuff.
There are probably franchise fans who also want him to spend more time in the commentary box.
Delhi Capitals, right? That's who he coaches?
He was, yeah. I mean, yes, I think he still is, isn't he? But yeah, the point being that maybe some teams he coaches don't go as well as he would want. So I think he's a fantastic commentator. It might be a bit early in his career to put him on here for the amount of commentary he's done compared to some of the others, but I don't think his content would suggest that he shouldn't be on here.
Fair enough. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't love his commentary, but of course, if Ricky Ponting is saying something, you're listening because he's Ricky Ponting. So there's that element to it. Mm-hmm. So I get two in a row now?
You get two in a row now.
Okay, my fourth pick is going to be controversial. It's going to upset some people. And I'm not trying to defend the person. If he said some bad stuff, then so be it, right? This is not a defense of that sort of stuff. But growing up, David Bumble Lloyd was one of the voices that I absolutely loved to listen to. And it's just, again, it's all in the accent, like scoring some runs, and that's rubbish, you know, stuff like that. It stays with you. And he called the moment Pakistan won the T20 World Cup in 2009. So again, that's a special memory for him, for me, not for him. I mean, I hope it is for him as well. But what did he say? Shahid Afridi, big man, big player. It's a leg bye. Who cares? So that's a great, great moment over there. And Pakistan, you know, the terrorist attacks happened in Lahore in 2009, early 2009. So that was quite a volatile moment in Pakistan cricket history. And we didn't really know what will happen. And then they go on and win the T20 World Cup in classic Pakistan fashion. So him being at the helm on commentary then, and then also for countless English summers, right? And I've actually spoken to Bumble on Twitter, weirdly enough. He was nice to me. He might have said some wrong things. Again, not trying to defend him, but as a commentator is concerned.
Yeah, just on that, I think there's a few people on this list that have said problematic things in their careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's unfortunately cricket. And, you know, there are some people that I think I don't have on this list because I have trouble with their problematic things. The thing with Bumble is, I don't know if you know, but Bumble does voiceovers over here and ads and stuff. Like his voice is like, it is an iconic voice. And so my mum absolutely loves Bumble and she couldn't tell you one cricket commentator from another, right? Mm. And she absolutely, when I'm on with Bumble, it makes her day. And you know, she doesn't learn the names of anyone else. She might like some of the other commentators, but she doesn't know who any of them are. Bumble really matters to her and she's not like a cricket fan, right? Like, but when he's on the TV, she will listen. And when it, you know, the few times he's been on the radio with me, she's been incredibly excited. And he has that appeal to non-cricket fans in a way that perhaps only Boycott you know, ever has before. You know, maybe peak Mark Nicholas as well. But you know, generally there isn't really a crossover, but Bumble certainly has that. And you're like, there are problematic people on this list if you go through their history. I'm not going to lie to anyone here. And Bumble has obviously had his issues. I've worked with him quite a few times. I found him a delight to work with, you know, almost every time. He's kind of, I'll give you a thing. So I'm trying to think of who I've commentated with on this list, but I've commentated with NASA, Bishop, Atherton, Simon Dool, Harsha Bogle, and Bumble. Bumble's really interesting because when you commentate with him, he's almost in his own bubble. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the other guys are commentating with you. And Bumble doesn't. It's really like a performance art with him. And he will only start interacting with you when you add to his performance, right? But I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that as in he's taking away from you. It's just the way he has to get himself into the moment. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and I hope that people listen to the word Bumble and think of David Lloyd and not the dating app. So he has to be a pick on this show. All right, last pick for me. Mm-hmm. If I am to be objective, I'd probably go for Mark Nicholas, but I'm not being objective over here, right? Some other honorable mentions over here were Danny Morrison, another hype man like Ravi Shastri. But
you've got Danny Morrison on your list because I would have thought that would have been a very controversial pick if you picked Danny Morrison.
Yeah, sure. But Danny has been T20 cricket, right? And ever since T20 cricket evolved. Yeah, so you have to give him that. But he's, again, not my last pick. Neither is Mark Nicholas. And I also had another controversial one that I didn't bring up was Dean Jones. Now, minus that incident, I love the whole going, gone thing. And I just like the way Dino talked as well. But yeah, sure, I'll break the internet and go for Ramiz Raja. And
what?
My rationale... my rationale. Sure, lots of cliches, tons of cliches, like endless cliches. But as a Pakistan cricket fan growing up,
an avalanche of cliches.
Yeah,
a tsunami of cliches.
Absolutely. And what is he
threw the kitchen sink at those cliches.
Jared has this unique ability to talk about cliches. So stuff like that, of course, like I'm not saying that Rambo was high on quality, but when it comes to, you know, voices of Pakistan cricket, we don't particularly have any. You know, it's Rambo and then you've got some new age ones. I think Aruj is really good. Bazid is all right. But Rambo was the voice of Pakistan cricket for me growing up. And I've also had some conversations with him. Very, very nice guy to me, at least. Sure, he also has some problematic stuff. I'm not going to go there. We all know. But I just don't think that anyone from Pakistan, other than Rambo, has been as eloquent at the job as Ramiz has. And if you actually go to the 90s and listen to Rambo and Shastri, they're very different commentators. If you listen to 90s Rambo, he has a lot more time and he's not making so many jokes, which was probably better. And he had that whole commentator's curse thing. Rambo comes on, Pakistan loses wickets. But yeah, just for like representation and from that sort of point of view that I was growing up and he was the only Pakistani commentator I wanted to listen to for the longest time. Everyone else was, well, not up to standard, in my opinion. So yeah, he made it ahead of Mark Nicholas for me, which is shocking.
I mean, I don't think he's a bad commentator. I don't think many people in the world are going to have him on their on their top five ballot or their, in their top 15 ballot from that point of view. But I do think he is. He does have a sense of, he's one of those iconic commentators. We're talking about someone who's now been doing it for 30 years and commentated all around the world. Has a certain style to him, obviously. Loves it. Loves playing up to that a little bit as well. You know, has a commentary, has a nickname in Rambo and all these different things about him. But yeah, it's an interesting pick. I was not expecting you to pick Ramiz Raja.
I was also thinking about Gawar, because Gawar is similar in that way. It's just the way he delivers, you know, that's what's great about him. But yeah, unfortunate for Mark Nicholas, David Gawar, and who else? Danny Morrison, Dean Jones, all of these guys that I had on my list. But Rambo has...
I just say, if there are probably people out there, and like any list that we come up with, people are going to say they're the top five people they hate. But the last five you mentioned, I think a lot of people would actually have as a legitimate list of the commentators they hate the most. And I'm not saying that that's fair or anything, right? But I am saying that's a rogue list that you ended up with at the end. When you picked out Dean Jones, I was like, what is happening? No, but even when you mentioned him, I was just like, what is happening here?
Okay, come on, Estelle, bring us home. My last one is, I mean, Alison Mitchell. I don't really hear a lot of her because we don't get, sometimes she's on a different commentary team than the telecast we get here. But what I've heard from her, she's really, I think, one of those people who really gives you a good sense of what's going on. Also, of course, you know, she's kind of paved the way in terms of broadcasting for women as well. During the most recent series against England, I thought she was really good in that, you know, again, Sri Lanka is one of the smaller teams in women's cricket as well. And you don't have a lot of broadcasters who know much about them. But she seemed to be able to bring a lot of balance to that. Alison Mitchell, number five.
Good pick.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever commentated with Ali. Maybe I have. I can't remember. But obviously, I've not. She's one of the first people I met in English cricket, actually. She was really nice to me then. And, she's always been one of the nicest people. She's very hardworking. And I think that's a real, you know, to go back, it's interesting, you know, some of your picks there, you've got, you know, Chappell, Bishop, Dool, and Alison Mitchell. Those are four of the harder working commentators, I would say, trying to get things right and everything. I was thinking that because of where we are in cricket, there weren't going to be a lot of women that would make this list. I don't know if I like Alison Mitchell's commentary more than I like Natalie Germanos' commentary. And also then I've got Mel Jones. And this is where it gets really tricky for me because I know these people, I'm friends with these people, I've worked with these people and all these sorts of things. And I couldn't work out where to go if I had to pick one of them. None of them have ended up making my list. But Alison, I think you're right. She's kind of, she's not the first female commentator, but she's maybe the first female commentator who traveled the world, if that makes sense, who, you know, was known in multiple places and everything else. And also did the hard work. Like a lot of female commentators don't do, you know, do a little bit of radio and then disappear or go straight to TV. Whereas Alison Mitchell has done both, which goes back to my thing before of having being able to commentate in both. And they're very, very different forms of commentary. So that tells you how talented
someone could be. And I think she's done multiple sports as well, right? Like Olympic Games and stuff, yeah.
She does do lots of random sports. Yeah.
My pick would have been Isha Guha ahead of her, but maybe that's just my sky bias talking again.
I really like Ebony as well. But again, you're talking about a group now that I've come up with. So that's probably the first person on this list that I came up with. And it's harder for me to distinguish everything I know about them. The next bit for me is really tricky. So I've got the last pick. There's a lot of really good commentators. I think Fazeer Muhammad is incredible, but also don't know if he's commentated enough to make, you know, through no fault of his own. I really like Samuel Badri and Shane Watson as modern guys, but I don't think I can slip them in. Then I've got Dan Norcross, and who's purely a radio guy, really. I know he's done a little bit of TV, and I came up with him as well, so I'm not going to put him on the list because I don't want him to feel good about himself. But I think he's a fantastic commentator and certainly one of the best in the world at the moment. There's three I'm sort of left with here, which is Jeremy Coney's always been one of my favorite commentators. Mm. Now I know Jeremy really, really well. And I understand how Jeremy works. And it's really fascinating watching that happen on air. Neil Manthorpe is someone who I always thought was a brilliant commentator. And again, a bit like Neil Manthorpe, sort of like that level. He's obviously a long way below Harsha Bogle in terms of fame. But if you look at the jobs that they have, very, very similar. The ability to go from TV to radio to hosting, you know, all those different skills. Manners has the most delightful pause. I think in broadcasting, probably since Richie, just the ability to stop. And make you, you know, there's just like people in South Africa just like going closer to their radios for a second, and then he's like, and then he delivers his words. And having worked with him on TalkSport, just at absolutely top level. But I'm going to go with someone who absolutely, there's no way that either of you would know him, I wouldn't think. But it's a guy called Tim Lane, who was a radio commentator who, because he never did any overseas tours, he only ever commentated for the ABC in Australia. On radio, and I thought he's got a brilliant voice, brilliant knowledge, so professional, just nails it, great understanding of cricket. But because he was an Aussie rules commentator, he never did any Ashes and never went and did World Cups or anything else, so he stayed completely. But this is my purest pick, because I just think as someone who has commentated and as someone who's written about commentary and, you know, studied it over the years, I always thought that Tim Lane at his best was just note perfect. The ability to go up and to go down. But there's so many people I could have fit in that fifth spot. Kerry O'Keefe is another one.
Tony Gregg?
Tony Gregg would not be on my list.
He wouldn't be on your list. Well, yeah. A lot is of people like him.
Well, let's go. Who do we know? I think we know Bayrams, but I'm surprised that Estelle didn't go Tony Gregg.
I just feel like...
Why did you not go
Tony Obviously... Gregg? He's really loved in Sri Lanka. I mean, people still talk about him. But I just feel like...
The little Lankans, I don't like as he that. Called you.
It kind of bothers me, yeah. So
obviously.
Yeah. And also, I think if you look at my list, I'm not big on the hype guys.
Some of the listeners and viewers are going to make us grovel after not picking Tony Gregg. Bobby should be there somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, so I think Bill Laurie is probably one of the more famous early commentators who's probably not on this list. You've got some of the old English commentators as well, but none of us really grew up listening to that BBC, so they're not really, you know, as important to us. But, you know, Christopher Martin Jenkins was certainly someone who I listened to a lot with BBC when I was growing up. Ian Smith is not on anyone's list.
Yeah, Ian Smith isn't there. Shocking.
Which I think is going to annoy a few people. As you mentioned before, you had Mark Nicholas close. Mark Nicholas at his best was absolutely fantastic, you know, for a long period of time. And he's probably unlucky. I love Mike Hazeman.
He should be.
Yeah.
He should be on my list objectively. Rambo has no business being there. It is Mark Nicholas's spot, but I just did everyone dirty over there.
I think Mike Haseman has always been a really, mm-hmm. really good commentator.
Yep, I like him.
As well. I'm trying to think of if there's any, you know, there's people like Jim Maxwell as well and mm-hmm. Jonathan Agnew and Brian Mortle who are like radio guys that really haven't done a lot of TV, but they're all brilliant broadcasters in different ways. You can see what I'm doing now. I'm trying to name as many commentators so we don't get fired, because we're going to get roasted for this. Absolutely roasted. Let me go through our list, because our list is maybe terrible. I cannot believe how bad this list is, right? That's Hussain, number one. Ian Chappell, Tony Kozier, Ravi Shastri, Ian Bishop, Mike Holding, Mike Atherton, Simon Dool, Harsha Bogle, Richie Beno, Ricky Ponting, Bumble, Ramiz Raja, Alison Mitchell, and Tim Lane, right? If anyone agrees with this list, Ben, what the hell is going on? Okay, Estelle's list. Remember, you can in the comments below, or you can get hold of us on social media to tell us why Estelle's wrong again. You've got actually Bayram might be the one this time. In fact, I'm going through this. In fact, Estelle's this time. Estelle has got Ian Chappell, Ian Bishop, Simon Dool, Ricky Ponting, Alison Mitchell. I have got Tony Kozier, Ravi Shastri, Harsha Bogle, Richie Beno, Tim Lane. I'm probably going to win this, guys, again, by the way. I think if I didn't put Richie Beno in, I would have struggled. But I think putting Richie Beno in is going to sink. I think it's going to sink Estelle. Although now I'm looking at Bayram's. God, yeah. If he had a strong number five, Mark Nicholas probably wins it for him. Like, looking at this, right?
Mark Nicholas would have won it for me.
100%. Nasser Hussain, Mike Holding, Mike Atherton, Bumble, and Ramiz Raja. That's a stronger list than I felt like it was going to be. Put comments in. Tell us what you feel. We apologize for this. But remember that commentary is almost the most subjective part of cricket, mm-hmm. because how a person's voice sounds. I won't go into the names, but there were two commentators a while back, and my uncle was saying to me, why is this commentator getting all this work and this other commentator doesn't? And I said, because one commentator has a good voice and one commentator has a bad voice. And they were like, what? How does that work? And I said, sometimes that's how you get work, right? Like the ability to sound soothing is more important than the information that you can impart. It's a very subjective thing. Mm-hmm. Then we have a lot of people who are commentating purely because they used to be famous players. So there's that issue. A lot of people don't take it seriously. I would say, looking at this, the majority of the people we have picked take it very, very seriously. And I think that's a good sign for us as judges. And it may be the only thing that stops us getting completely roasted.
Yeah. I mean, if we had to do an honorable mentions list, I would definitely have Mark Nicholas, David Gower. Those two would make that list. And then Ian Smith. He has to make the honorary list at least.
Yeah, I reckon our last pick for all three of us is maybe slightly personal. Hmm. And you could probably fit in, you know, Bill Laurie, Ian Smith, Mark Nicholas, those sorts of guys that we talked about before, and maybe even, you know, some other, Mike Haseman, Pommy and Bangla, those sorts of people as
Haseman's
well.
There. I like Gilly as well.
Yeah, I don't know the Gilly. Damien Fleming, I think, is a really good commentator as well. So, I have issues with commentary and I have issues with the way that commentators are picked, but I do think this shows that there's a lot of good commentators out there and that we didn't get any of them in our top 15 and everyone's going to hate.
Yeah, shout out to Uruj Mumtaz as well. I think she's doing a really good job carrying that mantle of Rambo forward in a better way.
The new Rambo, as she's often not called.
Yeah, anyway, I think that wraps episode 3 up. It was a longer one than usual, but we had a lot of fun recording it. I hope you guys had a lot of fun viewing it or listening to it. And if you like this content, like, share, and subscribe to this channel and Jared's other channel. We'll be back next week with another episode of Crick Picks. For now, that's it. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work.